Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Old Moon Podcast, episode 70. Right on. I don't even have to ask this time because I remember the last one was 69, you know?
Nice. Yeah.
And so I know this one's 70.
69 plus one.
Easy peasy. Yeah. Episode 69 plus one. Wait, can I redo it and do that? That's what I'm going to do. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Old Moon Podcast, episode 69 plus one.
Nice.
Yeah.
This is my joke.
Yep, edit it out.
This is my joke. I'm your host, Blue Squadron, who makes all the jokes and steals literally no content from anyone else. Joined by Jaekoon.
Hi, my name is Jaekoon Viti, not Jaehee Kim. I do a lot of endgame content, such as Olens, the Dungeons. You can find me live over at twitch.tv/Jaekoon Viti, V before the T.
No shot. Is it because people have been calling that because Jay lately?
Okay, people were telling me, like, oh, why is Blue always dogging on you? You keep saying Jay. I'm like, oh, he's probably referring to Jaehee Kim, or maybe he's referring to, I don't know.
No.
I guess some people still don't understand that when you say Jay. Yeah.
Don't worry. When I say fire Jay, I mean from his church-going job. Fire him. Gone. No. Turboed. All right. Yeah. Jaekoon VT, V before the T. No PvP.
No. Yup.
All right. And my boy Blonde Bear.
Hello. I'm Blonde Bear and I like to party.
Yup.
Okay. All right. Well,
let's go.
Our first topic of the day. Apparently, I'm just going to carry today. That's fine. Some of us came to play. Our first topic of the day is, Jay, you want to talk about early access in video games. Why is it a good or bad thing? And would BDO benefit from early access? I'm just going to go ahead and lead this off. No, it would not. Like, we already have Korea has early access to everything we do. Introducing the idea that we have to further delay the real release of the game in the West so that we can give the non-poor people access first and then give the poor people access later is really bad idea, in my opinion. Early access is kills the hype for a lot of video games, mainly because it's the only access. Like, especially as like a streamer or just like anybody playing the game, I feel like you're almost required to buy the early access if you want to experience the content with everyone else, because otherwise all of the content is spoiled 3 days or whatever before you actually get a chance to play it, and then it's just not as fun. All the hype for it is killed. We saw this recently with the World of Warcraft expansion. We saw this recently with literally every single possible thing that Black Desert Online has ever released. Releasing first in Korea and then here. But I'm curious what your thoughts on it, Jay, since you brought it up. Jay, do you have a different opinion on early access?
I think it depends on what the main purpose of the early access is for, because there's some games that did early access really, really well. And so, like, a really good example would be Baldur's Gate 3 by Larian Studios. I had not personally played the early access of Baldur's Gate 3, but it I think most people can agree that it's one of the most polished games out there on release, and a lot of people attribute it to the early access of Baldur's Gate 3, where they just had Act 1, right? They didn't have Act 2 and Act 3, but they just built upon all of the feedback and the overall gameplay experience, and then pushed it forward towards the end of the acts and stuff like that. So it's like one of the best games out there. I played it with Blonde Bear. We still need to do our campaign probably, right?
Yes.
So but yeah, again, as on the other hand, though, there are cases where the feedback doesn't seem to be the priority of the early access, or it's sometimes like sold as an incentive and as a way for players to play earlier than everyone else. And again, like as you mentioned before, the newest expansion of World of Warcraft, The War Within, there were some people that were even claiming that World of Warcraft War Within was pay to win or borderline pay to win, since when it was officially released to everybody, there was actually some leveling nerfs. And so that was a whole like debacle. And so people were arguing like, oh, if you paid more money than everyone else to gain early access, those players just had an easier time, right? And those who didn't play for early access, then they had a harder time. And so, I think most of us understand the idea of like the pay to win and stuff like that, right? So I guess the best way to put it is that we all kind of like draw the line a little bit closer, a little bit farther. For example, I'm going to use Path of Exile here because I think it's a great example. So in Path of Exile, you cannot buy any form of extra power for your character. You can only like buy cosmetics and stuff and more like in-game storage. But then some people argue that buying in-game storage is considered pay to win because more storage means more items and you get to sell more things and you get to buy power with that and stuff like that. So in BDO, I would maybe draw the line a little bit closer to that, where, you know, you can just you buy costumes, you can turn into Krons to do attempts or sell it for money and stuff like that. But I'm digressing, but yeah, to bring it back, I think early access for me, I'm more on the generally positive side of early access if the main reason for the early access is to receive feedback. And then if we put it in BDO's thing, I mean, okay, you mentioned that how Korea is getting like the early access version of it. I guess you could view it in that way. But also, what if the early access was instead of just Korea, it's, you know, everybody. And so I'm like thinking I feel like we haven't done that before yet. So, you know, before we say it's a bad thing, I think maybe it could benefit. We could try it. And then if it does work, poggies. But if it doesn't work, then now we know, right? Because we haven't done that yet. It, like, again, Korea has always gotten the quote unquote early access. And they don't, you know, they get to get the feedback in. But I mean, in the past, you've always talked about, hey, what about our feedback, right? And so I'm just thinking, if we have everybody have the early access, right, quote unquote global release, then maybe it could be a good thing for BDO. I don't know. What do you think, Blumbear? What's up?
I kind of agree with both of you guys. I think that when it comes to early access, generally, I too am on the favorable side, except when it comes to MMOs. I feel like the whole excitement and wonder of MMOs is like, you know, you're maybe taking a day off or you're setting some time aside so you can play with your friends and you all group up and chat and play. And the World of Warcraft expansion having like an early launch, and it was just kind of like, yeah, EXP rates got nerfed. They figured out all the bugs so that everybody that was in early got advantage of everything. And then everybody that came in late got all the nerfed EXP, the nerfed raids, the harder dungeons. And it's like, when you think about pay to win is like a tough concept, but like pay to get an advantage, it's like, oh yeah. And there's forms, like you said, where we draw the line at certain spots. Like, I don't mind if someone's getting a cool skin or a cool this or a cool that in some games, but when it comes to like accessing the game earlier and that means they have that many more alts leveled for the new raids or dungeons or whatever, I feel like that becomes complicated. But when we're talking about other games, there's plenty of other games that have done really well off of early access. Basically anything that's not an MMO, I feel like one of the yeah. I feel like there's tons of games like Baldur's Gate, like 100% I agree. There was also First Ascendant. They received a ton of feedback that fixed that game in the early alphas and betas a year prior. But that's not really early access. I guess it's more of a beta. I'm okay if there's that kind of stuff in a game where it's wiped and then everybody gets the launch on the same time. But yeah, I feel like it becomes complicated when it's an MMO, because the whole point is like, we're all, the MMOs are meant to be time sinks, massive time sinks. And if someone gets even a little bit ahead in the beginning, it could be like a massive push forward, you know. I mean, we even see it in it through BDO eras when certain people are ahead of the curve and then the new stuff comes out, they're even more ahead of the curve because they're already in those spots versus other people being, you know, a little bit behind or whatever. Those advantages felt really big in the early game, not really so much now, but yeah.
So I'm just gonna take the very firm stance that early access is just a huge L.
Even in non-MMOs, you think?
Yeah,
no, I do agree that the hype dies down.
Imagine but early access Wukong by a week. Imagine if you could have bought Wukong a week sooner than everyone else.
And think you mean how like much paying hype. Extra to get ahead correct. Of the well, normal early release in general.
Means. That's what early
I guess in my mind
means.
Is that the early access is like a you know, like when Baldur's Gate was coming out and you could technically buy the first act. I think there are some forms where I agree it does lessen the hype, but if that company kind of, well, I don't know how the companies work, but if dev companies need more money to push more investment time into a game, like for example Baldur's Gate 3 is like a massive success on that angle, and there's tons of like indie games, I think indie games do that really well, where they're like early access and then they keep pushing updates till they get a full release, rather than oh here's the release and then there's like no content updates. I feel like games feel a little emptier that way, but I do agree for bigger releases like that, I'm kind of on par with you.
Yeah,
I think it doesn't work out for those games because the whole culture is the YouTube and Twitch sphere of like the community watching it all together, and then it just like the game could die out in a week because everybody's seen it and played it and they're done.
Here's a question. Would you rather have what we have now, where Korea gets everything first for the most part, and then we all get it at the same time later. Or have everyone get things at the same time, but you can spend $60 and have access to the expansion a week sooner. Jay, I'll start with you.
I think that's a different case. I think that, so what, for my case, I'm taking early access as more of like on the beta side, like the beta and alpha side, where people get to test things earlier. As Blonbear said, like, like you get to get the feedback in, and then once it gets fully released, like nothing from what we had early access has like carried over. Like everybody like starts at the same time. It's just that the people who got to experience it earlier got to send in the feedback, and so it like became that. That's, again, that's kind of like how Baldur's Gate did it. So maybe we're just like we're a little bit on the different pages of the same book, where for me it's more about the feedback rather than getting to get early. You know, I guess maybe when you think of early access, you just think of, you know, getting to play it earlier, and then you get to continue that off that playthrough. But for me, I'm more thinking of early access as a way to provide feedback, and then once it's fully released, then we get to experience it. You know, everybody gets to experience the same thing from the start.
If right you now. Had to Go choose, ahead. Though, like mm-hmm. everyone gets the expansion at the exact same time, but you can pay to have access $60 to have 1 week extra access, mm-hmm. or Korea gets it first, and then the rest of us get it. You know, a couple weeks later or a month later or whatever, but it's free. Which one would you rather have?
I'd rather choose A, but also I'd rather choose C over A, if that makes sense, over B. And C would be everybody just gets to play it. But you didn't give me that choice, so I'm just going to choose A.
Everyone to be happy all the time and never have any problems.
Yeah, exactly.
I choose option C. not have anyone be unhappy for any reason. Okay, you suck at helping me with engagement. Bon, I need you to take a strong stance on this. Which one would you rather have?
Okay, since you gave me A or B, sorry. Go ahead, Blunt.
No. Finish your answer. I want to hear this.
No, I was going to say, since you only gave me A or B, and A is obviously going to be the more... obviously, I don't want like people to... Again, we just talked about the World of Warcraft thing, and that was like a whole debacle, so I'm going to... lean more on the side of A more than B. Go ahead, Blonde.
Wow, Jay selling out. Yeah. As a fellow content creator and as someone who, you know, is monetarily influenced, obviously your answer is going to be A. However, I personally vote B. I think that there's a large population of people that don't spend money in BDO, and then we have like a minority of whales that spend a lot of money, and then there's like these occasional people that will spend a little bit. I personally would not want to pay early for access. I 100% would choose B every time. I think it's just better for the community. Wait, now, as someone who's going to buy it regardless, I'm going to do A. But if I knew ahead of time what it would be, I would choose B. But I don't have an issue with disposable income.
Can we clarify what your B is and what your A is?
Okay, so option A is you pay $60 to get in early.
No. Okay. Maybe we weren't on the same page, Blunt. So A for me was the way it is right now.
Because you get to pay $60 to get in.
Huh? No. Wait, no. So Blue said, okay, she presented it as the first option, which is the current state. And then option B was what we were talking about, early access pay. And so that's why I said A or B. So I think we were just on this different pages. You thought B was A, and then you thought,
okay. Let's yeah, no. A. I'm 100.
Yeah, okay, go ahead, Blonde. Which side are you on?
I 100%, if the option is given to me, I will spend $60 to get ahead of whatever game. If it's a game I'm playing. Okay. Like, I didn't do that for WoW because I didn't care for the few days early, because I only played it when I played with my friends. But like 100%, I'm going to spend the money. Now, if I had the option to choose, I choose not to have to pay to get early. I'll just play the game as it is. Like, I don't want to have to pay to get it early. I just would rather it be, you know, the natural state of the game, whatever.
The current state.
I
we have right now.
I would vote for that every time, hoping that there wouldn't be a pay jump, because I know and have friends that don't have disposable incomes that can't just spend $60 on a game. I mean, that's why a lot of people play BDOs, because it's like free. Like, you pay $3 to $5 whenever it goes on sale, and a lot of the game gives you a ton of stuff. Like, you never have to spend a dollar. This is one of those games that, like, you always see these people that are like playing games and they never buy a subscription, they never do this, never do that, and BDO caters to that heavily, while also catering heavily to the whales. So I 100% would vote that every time, but I also will play a game where if I'm really, really into it, yeah, I'll pay like ahead. Like, for example, on RuneScape, I pay like the year membership, so I don't have to do like a month to month and all this stuff. Like, I don't want to deal with it. So, but that's because I don't have an issue with that. I truly don't like that kind of monetization playstyle, because I feel that's what corrupts these companies to do stuff. Like, that's what's, in my opinion, that's what's absolutely caused Blizzard to go down the trash can, is their the way they do monetization, WoW tokens, different stuff like that. Like they've been paying 15, it's been 15 bucks and they've never increased it over the last, like, what, 20 plus years? It's because they were always overcharging what they needed for the game, and they made so much from it. So, yeah.
Yeah, so if it was between, look, I hate early access, but if it was between Korea just outright getting it first and then we get it for free later, or everyone gets it at the same time and you can pay $60 to have it a week sooner, I'm going to pay $60 and have it a week sooner.
Before the game came out, if they said, hey guys, we're about to release this game, but we have two things. You pay $60 to get early access, or our main region gets it first for 2 to 3 months, or you don't pay and you get it when it comes, like a 2 to 3 months later. I feel like, I don't know, personally, I would choose to not have to make people pay to want to get early access or whatever, because you're going to want to get that ahead jump. But, like, I would obviously pay for it. I don't think any of us have an issue with that. But that's because of the positions we're in. I think that as content creators and stuff, we 100% are always going to choose that better option. But, yeah, I just, you know, I don't want to make the game go in that direction. Like, if we're doing, like, a poll before the game is released to have this kind of content come out, there's too many players that, there's too many people that could experience a game by not having to deal with that monetization.
Yeah, so. I all three of us are on the same page. And in fairness, I'm not saying that that's the monetization route they should take. I just thought it was an interesting question.
Could you imagine if they started doing that, though?
I think that ironically,
BDO's never charged for an expansion or anything. BDO's only ever charged for, like, quality of life.
I think that if they did that, everyone would hail it as a win. That's the thing.
Which is insane, because it's a massive loss.
That's how crazy it is.
Oh, no.
It's exactly what the community was saying. Yes, finally, PA listened to their wallets. Like, what are you talking about, wallets? Dude?
Oh, my God. Jay's over here like, wait, that's a good idea. Hold on, write that down.
Wallets.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's crazy. Okay, so now we're going to move on to FOMO, the fear of missing out, which is kind of on the same subject of early release and early access, right? And in this case, I'm curious if, so FOMO is a good topic because we have this new Berserk, or I guess old Berserk thing coming in, right? The Golab thing coming in. You know, there's a lot of FOMO with the Berserk Golab, where, like, people are going to feel like, you know, it was around, like, one time, like, 6 or 7 years ago, and then we never got it again, and it was the rarest outfit in the game. I guarantee you there's a lot of people that are going to buy it just because, not because they think it looks cool, but because this is their only opportunity to get it, and they know that, until the game almost dies again, right? So, like, do you think that, and honestly, I think that I'm kind of glad that they don't normally do FOMO, because our Battle Pass sucks. Let's be honest, that Pearl Shop, like, Black Spirit Battle Pass thing that we have is complete garbage, basically, every month. Imagine if there was, like, an exclusive outfit in that every month.
That you could never get again. That came one time. Yeah, you would have to buy that every single time.
Or, like, not even that. It's just a mask, right?
Or bigger fail stacks. Imagine you could buy a 250 or 350 fail stack. That's, like, really hard to pass up for some people.
The summer glasses? Right? They could have just been like, hey, these are some exclusive badass, like, shades that you can only get through purchasing, like, these shades right here. You can only get these shades through purchasing them our Battle Pass this month. And if you don't get it, you don't get it, right? They could do this a lot more. How do you guys feel about FOMO? I assume that you would not want to see more of this, but, like, where else have we seen this in the past, Jay?
For me, I actually, okay, it depends on what the FOMO is. If it's just cosmetic, I'm all for FOMO. I'm all for, okay, so I'm gonna keep mentioning Path of Exile because I've been playing a lot of Path of Exile. But Path of Exile does this a lot for FOMO, where you know every 3 months they have a league, right? And every 3 months for the league they have these exclusive cosmetics, and I just think that what's it called? You know, like that I was there, you know, that kind of feeling. Okay. Here's an example for World of Warcraft, if that makes it more, you know, connect with other people, since, you know, people might not play Path of Exile. But in World of Warcraft, were you there, Blonde Bear, for the, I think it was like the opening of the
Entourage Gates.
That was an event, FOMO.
That
would be so cool.
Same thing with the Wrath of the Lich King one, where you could get the death illness and poison people in towns, and zombies were rising in the cities and you had to kill them. That was awesome.
That was a weird...
That was incredible.
Did, actual real-time studies for that, for the freaking in-game disease. That was weird.
It was awesome.
But I feel like the FOMO, it depends on like what the FOMO is. And so in the World of Warcraft, they have a lot of like event FOMOs where... the opening of Entourage, or like this event that it's like a one-time event, that if you were there, you got, you could get this cool item or got a cool experience. Even like it doesn't, you don't have to like pay for it as well. That's also a form of FOMO. And I feel like if we go in that direction and route, I feel like BDO could create some really cool opportunities. So here's a FOMO from Final Fantasy. So Final Fantasy 14 had like a really terrible launch, but then like, you know, some years later they revamped it, and then you know how they
Realm Reborn,
right? They, you know how they killed it, right? They had this giant meteor that destroyed the servers, and that's how they revamped, like, you know, Realm Reborn. That was the next expansion, so the old servers like were wiped completely. Mm-hmm. And then they had this really cool in-game event that if you were there, you saw this meteor coming down on you, everything died. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's how they, you know, did the FOMO. That was really cool. That was a really cool FOMO event. And so, again, like, I feel like that direction could be a really cool way for BDO to create some cool experiences and cool stuff like that. And also like cosmetics, too, would be a real cool way of FOMO. But again, yes, it is a very common tactic in, you know, that game developers use as a way to like monetize their game. Right. And so, like, you know, limited edition skin or cosmetic or item that you can, you know, can only get this week. And in this case, the Berserk stuff, I think that's like, I think I'm fine with that kind of FOMO. Again, it's, if the FOMO was like, oh, you're going to miss out on the 300 stack, then that's like a FOMO of, you know, like pay to win FOMO, right? So I'm less about that direction, but again, I'm more leaning on the cool experience cosmetics type of FOMO. So I embrace FOMO in that way. But yeah, what do you think, Blonde? What do you think about FOMO?
Yeah, I essentially agree in the core aspect. I think that there's healthy types of FOMO, and I think there's unhealthy types of FOMO. Like, healthy types of FOMO are like BDO's done before. We did the Mysteries of Summer. I think that those are some of the most healthiest ways to do FOMO, because it's a limited... The darkness titles. Every time I see a soul title run around, I'm like, hey, that's a real one. Anytime I see anybody, any of the... they're still around. Yeah, like anybody with those exclusive titles and stuff, I think that that's really cool. The same thing with the Realm Reborn. I thought that was really cool, making it an in-game event. And if you had some of the collectibles from the original period of time, that's like a cool thing. I think those are healthy amounts of FOMO. I think unhealthy FOMO is, like you also mentioned, the buying a fail stack or maybe over monetization of like re-releasing an, like, for example, the Berserk costume, it being an exclusive thing was cool. The FOMO was there. It's a collab, so like they could never return it, right? The fact that they have returned it, I think, is one of the like scary elements of FOMO when you buy into it, because you're like, oh, this is exclusive, just like the shoe dad from the pre-order. And then what did they do a few years later? They re-released it. So your exclusivity doesn't matter. Someone that you could, you know, you have your shoe dad and someone's just going to dye it the same way or whatever. Or you have your Berserk costume, you've had it because you're an OG fan, and now all these new people that got into Berserk right before the collab came out, now they look just like you and there's nothing special about you. So I think that for a company that needs money, I mean, like, sure, that's great for them, and sure, the players are happy temporarily, but I think it kills like the original FOMO, like when they double up on the FOMO by like re-releasing stuff that existed like that originally. I think that's like the things you don't want to happen to the things that they're FOMOing. Some more, I guess, unhealthy moments of FOMO is like the way that, in my opinion, it felt like Lost Ark plays their game with their release content schedules. the content comes out, or at least for example, the first year when it launched on NAEU, the game comes out and you're like rushing all the content and you're like catching up to the raids, and then they release tier one, tier two, tier three, you're running through the content and it's like fun and it's exciting. Okay, but what you didn't know is that like a year later, they were going to like, before every single raid tier, give you a free battle pass that caught you up to the current eye level so that you could just go and raid with everybody, which is great for those players. But for any of the players that were like trying to rush the content, like it's like, so I could have just not played and caught up to the game. And I think that's sort of what some people feel in BDO now, where it's like, so you're telling me if I just don't play, they're just going to keep giving me, like, eventually I'm going to get a Tet Debereka when I log in, I got a Pen Black Star, they're going to give me the new Flame for a login reward. I think that those kind of things are, you kill the fear of missing out, because then there's no, like, rush to go do those things. There is no fear of missing out. You essentially kill FOMO by over FOMOing, I think. But I think there are healthy ways to do it that lead to fun environments in the game and activities and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that monetary values like cosmetics, I truly don't care either. But I think when it comes to like actual in-game events where we're participating and doing things, I think those are like some of the more meaningful ones. That's meaningful mm-hmm. to the community, essentially, in like a good way.
Right on. Well, I'm curious. Do either of you actually own what is about to be the rarest outfit in the game?
In what game? BDO?
BDO.
The Berserk outfit?
No, it's called the Bugatti outfit.
Oh, the
yeah, it will be the rarest one, yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, I'm actually almost
I didn't
like,
buy it.
I said, yeah, I that's how rare it is. You don't even know what it is, okay? Like, I'm just saying, it is literally, yeah, I'm about to own.
Anyone else got the carriage and the four horse gear Bugatti?
I'm about to own the only Bugatti set left that didn't get immediately dumpstered, okay? And that's the only thing that made the Bugatti set good was the fact that it was FOMO, because it's basically garbage. Although the helmet is actually Ferrari not bad. The helmet looks great. Oh, yeah, honestly, the helmet actually looks good. Rest of the outfit is craziness, is madness. So I'm curious, Blonde, you touched on this a little bit there. So what FOMO is kind of killed, because this is kind of much a much longer term game. I actually disagree. I think because people want to play this game much longer term, that FOMO hits them a lot harder. I remember in League of Legends, when the championship skins came out for the first time, championship Thresh's or Riven is a good example. In season two, I chose not to buy championship Riven when it came out, but like I was going to play I was going to play League of Legends really long term. And to this day, I still regret not buying championship Riven, because it's worth probably $800 now. Because it's that rare. It's not even that good of a skin, right? They've released kind of extra skins since then. I have like Pax Sivir, but I don't have championship Riven. And then everyone bought championship Thresh because it was all FOMO. I think if you're going to play a game long term, and the more invested you are into the game, the higher chance FOMO has of working on you, which makes FOMO extremely predatory in a game like BDO, where like if they say, hey, we're releasing this outfit, but only for the next 15 days, and then it's gone. Players in BDO are like crazy high chance to buy that outfit.
Yeah,
100%. Crazy high chance.
That's essentially why. Yeah, that's exactly why I think that like there are some healthy FOMO, but when it comes to like stuff like that, I think it can be really bad. Like for example, World of Warcraft, you have like this investment where it's like you've played it for so long. I feel like a lot of people don't play WoW because they really enjoy it anymore. I think they play it because there's like so much time investment that they can't see themselves playing another MMO or investing in anything else, which I felt that way. I mean, I played it for 15 years. I was hardcore. I had all the legendaries. I did all the stuff. I collected stuff. But then there was always like one guy that had one mount that I didn't have that was exclusive or whatever. And it's just like kind of, at some point I like lost the illusion of like enjoying it as much. And I think that those kind of investments in games, like you miss one event or you miss one special costume, and then you're going to feel like garbage every time you see someone with it because you didn't spend it that one time, or you didn't go get it, or you didn't participate. But then it's also, like you said, it's extremely predatory, because then it's like, well, now I have to buy every exclusive thing because I have, it's, you know, I have no idea if I'm going to be able to show it off later in the game or something. I feel like that sort of aspect of like the comparison element in MMOs, where you want to like show off your stuff, it feeds into like you wanting to like spend money that you wouldn't probably normally spend on stuff that you probably wouldn't normally buy, because, you know, you want to, because you want to have that exclusive thing, not even for the fact that it is cool. It's just what it represents is the cool thing. And I think that, yeah, that can be extremely predatory. I don't like that. I think that it has to be separated from monetization, I think. Or it can be like the battle passes where it's like, you can FOMO if you really care about that stuff, but like, they're always garbage, so great. Like, you don't have to worry about it, you know? Those are healthy forms of like the, that kind of thing, I guess, that where it doesn't really matter and it's not really a big deal to me,
So do you think that the... Okay, so we touched on the Black Spirit Pass earlier about how it's like not that good. Is that a good thing? That it's not good?
I think it is. Oh, I think that's such a good thing.
Oh my god, I don't feel like I have to buy it.
Could you imagine if you felt like you had to buy it every time? So you're buying that, and then you're buying the, when you do a new season character, you're going to want to buy the stuff for the weight and the fail stacks and all that stuff, and to boost your thing. Like, I always, every time those things come out, I'm like, oh man, $30, like, you know, I could just go mow a lawn or two, and that's like $30. That's easy. Like, oh, like, that wouldn't be that bad. And then I'm like, no, do you even need any of this? Like, are you going to use it? Like, every time people ask me, oh, do you want the, like, battle pass for the season pass for the seasonal characters? And it's like, well, if you're going to spend the money to get those things anyways, it's a good deal. But, like, if you're going to spend it because it's there, that's the trick. Like, you don't need to buy this. You don't need the costume that you're just going to turn into Kron's, because you don't buy costumes for Kron anyway. Like, you don't do that with your money. And, like, yeah, you get, like, an extra mate or two, and you get this and that, and it's like, it's nice, but you don't need to do those things, so you shouldn't spend it. But the concept in your mind is that that kind of tricks you to want to do it, because it's like, oh, you know, it's a kind of a deal. It's like, well, you're not going to spend that money anyway, so it's actually out of your pocket.
Blonde, let me ask you, why are you still cutting grass for money at the age of 30?
I'm not, but every time one of my friends gives me a weak excuse where it's like, oh, they can't buy some $15, $20 game or whatever, I'm like, bro, just go mow somebody's lawn. I'm personally not mowing a lawn. I pay someone to mow my lawn, but I'm just saying that,
yeah,
like,
Blonde, that's what adults do.
It's as simple.
Are your friends like simple. 19 years old or 16 years old? What's going on? Who are you friends with?
Yeah, I do have some 19, 20 year old friends. Listen, gamers come in all ages, ranges, sizes, whatever.
It's fair.
What would be, like, what is the opposite of FOMO? Is there like a term for the opposite of FOMO?
Yeah, it's called perennials.
Okay, so you said,
I think it tied into it with the World of Warcraft thing, where I was saying, like, FOMO essentially eventually turns into the opposite, where it's like the investment theory, where, like, or it's tied in some way where you're not, it's not the fear of missing out, but you've put so much time and effort into a thing where you're not going to want to get out of it. And it's not because there's something exclusive about it. It's just that you've put so much into it. I feel like that's where a lot of, like, people are kind of reaching a video too, where, like, you know, that's where some people's breaking point over the last month has been, where it's like, you know, I kind of stuck around and I like this game, but I don't know if I want to kick it anymore. So you see all these, like, you know, people that probably were done a while ago now quitting now rather than before, because they felt they had the time and investment and everything to keep playing the game. The sunk cost fallacy.
Well, I wouldn't say it's necessarily a sunk cost fallacy as much as it was they still had something that they clung to that they enjoyed about the game. And now there's nothing that they enjoy about the game, so they can, like, they're letting go. Right, like, it takes some time, but they just let go.
I think, like, that's what finally broken a lot of them, you know. And then you see more people leaving, so you're like, well, like, I guess we're all getting off the ship. You know what I mean? Like, it's sinking. Yeah.
Which begs the question: what keeps players playing BDO? What are they typically in the past? What have they done correctly that keeps players playing BDO? Jay, we haven't heard from you in a while.
So for me, for BDO, it's always been the combat system for me. I still feel like there's not an MMO that compares to the combat system in BDO. I've always enjoyed very grindy games as well, like, where you can spend and invest a lot of time and work and effort towards a long-term goal. And I feel like the time I invest in, you know, learning something or doing something, whether it be like in-game rewards or getting better at my class, it does feel rewarding to see the results of my efforts. However, at the same time, that very grindy nature, I feel like it also acts like a double-edged sword for some people. Like, it tends to be the same reason for, like, burning out. It might be viewed as something, like, very repetitive and monotonous, which can, you know, lead to losing interest and becoming frustrated, or, you know, eventually lead to negative impact over their enjoyment, right, for the game. And I feel like for BDO, there just hasn't been anything, I don't know, like, innovative in a while, and it's maybe more of a common feeling among, like, the veteran players. Like me, I'm a veteran player. I mean, we consider ourselves a veteran player, and, you know, a common occurrence towards the end game of BDO, where you get, like, certain point in progression, right? You grind once more for an item, you grind the Krons, you tap the item until it goes. If it doesn't, go back to step one, right? And if you're a new player, you're kind of discovering all these cool and amazing ways to play the game at the very beginning, which is great. But I think it's like that sort of like maintaining the player engagement over a long period of time that becomes harder and harder as like the game ages. And I think this is why, you know, it's important to be like innovating and revamping old ways. And I think for me, it's like, you know, okay, the first wave of Deku spots was amazing. Like Olin's, Ash Forest, Cyclops, Thornwood Turos. I felt like, oh my God, this is like so cool and stuff. Like I get to grind these older spots as a harder version. And then the following Deku spots, it just became a lot less interesting to me, like, because I've already experienced that. Like, they're great and all for awards. I feel like the tower mechanic, like when they added crescents, right? I think everybody can attest, like, crescents right now is giga for money, right? It's a insane. You know, it but at the same time, it was kind of like a reskinned version of Stars, and there wasn't anything too interesting with the mechanics. You kind of just stood there, and some people like that, some people like just like a really straightforward, you know mechanic and stuff like that. Again, the rewards are great, but for me, I've kind of viewed it as a little bit low effort, which makes me feel like, will the future content be of this quality over and over again, right? And I hope not, because they spoke about this like tower climbing arc mechanic in like Mountain of Dawnbreak. They spoke about this like demon lands about being this like giant castle that is apparently going to cover the entire continent over Valencia, right? So I'm excited for that, but you know, right now they're just talking about it, so will they do it? I don't know. If they add 20 more tower spots in between now and until that content comes out, I think I'm gonna lose my mind.
Bro, true. But,
yeah, what are you?
Yeah, big truing right now.
I'm a little bit tired of tower spots, so.
Oh, they're...
I mean, they're great for, like, you know, finding a spot, right? I mean, have you guys been having trouble finding a spot for crescents?
On Arsha? Yeah, I mean, it's a PvE server, but it's always taken, so I end up waiting in line for hours. It's... Crescents is fine on a normal server. I can just sit there and grind as much as I want, and like I can find an open rotation. On Arsha, it can be a little bit difficult sometimes because, like, again, I have to sit there and wait for the other players to be finished. But yeah. Blonde, what keeps you playing BDO, bro?
For a long time it was treasure grinding and group grinding. I think that the combat in the first few years was very interesting and fun. After playing WoW for 15 years and other MMOs, the like Guild Wars 2 and stuff, I think that the combat was a big thing. I think that's kind of like 8 years now later, it's kind of like not as interesting as compared to rewarding mechanics. I think that BDO had this thing where, you know, you got gear and it felt really good and you felt stronger and you got through grind spots. And over the last like 2 to 4 years, it's felt kind of weird where like your gear doesn't feel like it really matters. And then the balancing issues with so many things about the game is weird. So then my big motivation for a long time was, like a third or fourth year was like EXP. Like that was something you could look at the rankings, you could look at the charts. I thought that was cool. I was one of the, I was the third like 65 on the server, 64 and 65. And then I was the first 65 Zerker, I think, in like, one of the top five first 65 Zerkers, that stuff I cared about. And then they introduced AFK dummies and I kind of lost my motivation to keep doing that. Cause like, you know, people that weren't even working on EXP would just catch up to you if you got busy or wanted to grind something that wasn't EXP based, and that felt kind of weird. So then my interest moved then to treasure items when I started going for gear rather than EXP, and treasure items were really fun. I really, really, really like treasure item grinding. It's like, it could drop now, it could drop in 2,000 hours, you have no idea, and that's kind of the fun, and the journey along the way is what, like, you know, keeps you going. Between that and then also, like, the big crux of my journey has been the merchant ring. I think that the group grinding for Olin's at the merchant ring has been probably the most fun, and it's so incredibly sad to see a successful spot like Olin's then have like nothing follow up, right? Like everything has been tower spots, single spots. We had Deki at Olin's, but that was kind of boring because you're literally limited on spawn rates, so like you can't even innovate it like you could normal Olin's. Normal Olin's has been innovated at least 10 different times over the last like 4 or 5 years. We used to do like regular, like it was slow to clear in the beginning, and then like, you know, then we learned the arm mechanics, the spawn mechanics, we got more gear, more scaling. Then like people were doing the tower manipulations where they would spawn the babies from the towers. Now people do these rotations where they're extra pulling extra mobs with like aggress and double loot scroll, so you're tripling, quadrupling your trash loot
using
way more than you could before.
To pre-summon minions.
Yeah, there's,
people were also using freaking flame traps. Like they would clear so fast, they would put a, after they killed the first one, they put a flame trap on the first golem. Then by the time they got back, it would have pre-pulled the first golem.
Yes,
there, like, ain't no way people are doing that.
There's so
kind of
many really oh cool God. Innovative things about that spot, and it's so sad that the last like two or three expansions when they did like the balls and stuff, when we saw those big ogres for Mountain of Eternal Winter with the spikes on their back, I'm sitting there thinking, oh my God, it's gonna be Olin's 2.0, it's gonna be crazy, they're gonna shoot spikes in the back, there's gonna be minions and stuff, it's gonna be awesome. And then we get it and it's a one-time quest, you never go back, they're not even a killable monster, and it's like, what the fudge, dude? Like, this looks cool, but I don't care about looks. So, like, I don't know. I think it's the group grinding and treasure stuff. The fact that we haven't had a treasure since the telescope, even though it's like kind of only been a year, I feel like they got to kind of pump those out a little bit more. There's been like four quality of life updates. They could have made the new elixir thing a treasure item where you get like a cauldron and mix stuff into it. I think that like releasing stuff like that's fine, but I think that there's got to be some kind of drive to keep pushing, especially on a high RNG element. I mean, how many streamers and content creators do you see? It's like, oh, Choice went 200 or 300 hours on one telescope piece. Oh, Divios went a few hundred hours on a telescope piece. Like, if they were counting numbers at that point, they probably would have like lost their minds. Like, grinding money in that sense, and I've talked to many people that have, is absolutely mind-numbing. But it's like there's these other underlying motivators that I think make you really excited and stuff. I think there's other things for other people, like PvP, getting gear, feeling those incremental updates. But then, like, I have friends, like, for example, like Justin Case, he was like working on his gear, and I was, you know, chatting with him about like he's working on his disto and he's gonna get this and that, and then I end up seeing him play AOS all day, and I'm like, man, like, it, like, he's a real grinder and he's grinding all this gear, and then you just do AOS all day because the rest of the game is absolutely borked. So it's like, there's like, you have no drive to go and do those things anymore because it has no value over just spamming AOS or something all day. And I don't know, for me, there hasn't been a treasure, there hasn't been a group grind spot. And so the new thing that's coming out with the new region is something I'm really excited for. We have the new boss mechanic multiplayer thing where it's like a raid boss where the mechanics actually look really interesting. It's not like, oh, we're all going to boss Zarka and you're going to get one shot from a mechanic you don't understand. And even if you have gear on, you're going to get one shot because there's no balancing correctly in this game. These bosses actually look really cool. So I am excited about that. But it's got to be, like we just said earlier, innovative in some type of way. It's got to be something fresh every time, or else I'm I'm not having fun.
I did see what Hugh put out recently. I saw, like, the rewards for, like, the new boss system, and they're, like, giving away full gear and steers for, like, just doing the bosses with your guild and stuff. So, like, the rewards are insane. And the whole guild gets rewards if five slaves, I mean, volunteers, go do it. Everyone else gets rewards and they don't have to do anything.
Yeah, the way that they said it in the ball, and I haven't seen any updates because I'm kind of waiting to experience it, but the way it seemed from the ball is that, like, the more guildies that run through it, like, the more completion rate you have in your guild, you get higher and higher rewards. So, like, you'd have, like, a core man of, like, three or four people, and then you carry one random and rotate through your guild to, because then it pushes their rewards as well, right? You get your own individual rewards, and you get the guild bonus reward from that. I think that's really cool. I think that's a cool way to push your guild to doing things together. And then you can repeat it. I think that's cool. But like I said, I haven't looked at any of this stuff because, like I said, I'm kind of waiting. But yeah, I think if it's like that, that's really cool. And that is something I'm looking forward to. But like, if the rewards are good, that's great. But the rewards are only going to be good in the beginning until it's spammed to ad infinitum. And then the rewards don't mean anything because the value is shot because the supply is massive. So I don't.
Yeah,
it's cool for a minute. But then what happens? Like I think that's one of the problems where they do this. I don't know what the term. There's a special term for it when you have something that's really exclusive and you absolutely crash meteor the supply demand ratio to, like, that's what happened with Deborekas, right? Debos used to be extremely not even just the rings, all of them. But then they buffed the drop rates like 2 to 3 times over. They said, "Oh, we want to get you more rewarding," and that's cool. But then it completely kills the. You know, I understand, and I know everybody's going to freak out. I know the grind can be boring, but there was something fun and exciting about the exclusivity of it. Now, no one's excited about Debos because it's not even exclusive. It's something everybody could just have and buy and get, and that's not fun for anybody. Well, unless you're just goal-oriented, you get your goal done, and then, okay, finally, I can log off. I'm done. Like, I guess if that's your mindset, but that I think that's pretty unhealthy anyways.
Well, the only reason that they had to do that is because they suddenly required every single player in the game to get demos because that was the best in slot thing.
I think that's a problem too. I don't think they ever should have. I think a three set was fine. I think the five set was way overboard. I think that the five set, it should have been a PvE only bonus so that people that wanted to do that stuff, they could do it, but there was no obligation at all. I think it should have been monster damage or something. Yeah, I think it's very silly to pigeonhole everybody into a thing that is like a really long grind, so then people complain, so then you got to expand it. So then, like, not only are you consuming the people that were upset about it, but then you're consuming people that were kind of fine with the rates and liked the long grind, and now it's like, just now there's no profit, now there's no money into it, so now it's like you can't even grind it. I mean, I guess you can grind it for profit, but it's people are clicking Debo's raw now, which I guess if that's the course of the game so that we don't have to spend crons on it, that's good, but the transition period feels miserable for everybody involved, I think.
So,
because it doesn't feel worth doing, right? Sorry.
Okay, you're good. We've talked a lot about what kept us playing the game. I am going to very briefly say what kept me playing the game. The thousands of people that rely on me to play the game. It would be a great reason that I play. Thanks, guys. I appreciate your money. No, seriously, though. I love the game because all of my friends play the game. Like, realistically, if all of my friends stop playing the game, I'm not going to want to play the game. Right?
Yeah.
Like, my solution in the past was to just go make new friends. But, like...
Oh.
Everyone has like lately it's felt like everybody I know has kind of stopped playing, like even you two. Yeah. Are either of you logged in right now?
Nope. I haven't logged into BDO in a while.
I have no other friends to make, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard.
Even
it's
if we were logged in, we wouldn't even have something to do. That's the thing. It's like I'm saying, the group grind. Like, could you imagine if we had a group grind spot and we were doing that while we were doing the podcast? That would be so fun. In the middle of saying a line, Jay, look out! Nuke! You know, something silly like that.
What are you doing?
None of that can exist because they just
tank it.
Just iron frame it. Blue.
Bam!
That would be so cool, and I feel like the new boss thing's gonna be cool, but man, it's been just too long. One of the group grind spots over Ulukita should have been group grind. The Highlands should have been something that you could do together. It's a giant boss mob. Wasn't it a 3-4 man spot where you can sit there and kill those legs each and then you all fight the body and you got hordes spawning? You know, like, I understand what were they thinking?
Mm-hmm. Odalita release was my favorite moment, like my favorite period of time in BDO was because there's this Olens, right? When Olens first came out, and it still today is one of my most favorite grind spots, both regular and Dekia, but nobody could grind it. There wasn't, it was like a chase spot, if that makes sense. Like you were gearing up to go to that spot, right? And it took a while for people to start like efficiently grinding it, and I kind of feel like maybe we could do that again. Stop. Like we can have those chase spots again. No,
stop. We need to, okay. Their vision, you guys are so one-dimensional. Uh-huh. It's actually hurtful. Their vision for this game is we are gonna make it more PvE oriented and move away from this PvP. Okay, that's literally their vision for the game. Stop making PvE just another grind spot, dude. Like, we want world boss changing events. We want group PvE raids. We want dungeons. We want actual end game PvE content. Like, if you're going to make your game about a PvE end game and shift away from PvP and you want to keep players playing your game, that's what you need. Okay? There's no way around it. If you want to move away from PvP, you have to give people something other to do than grind around in circles for hours and hours and hours. And that's just the truth. Now, we've talked about this a ton. So I'm just going to ask you guys, as our last topic here, have you heard about this Korean drama?
There's a lot of Korean dramas. My wife watches a lot of them. She's
No, I watch a lot of Hugh Hotbar, who is his own Korean drama. But in this case, I'm wondering if you guys have actually seen the Korean drama. I can explain it for you. There is a theoretically, there was a video put out to the public where this guy said that he clicked the Cronstone button, he tapped his enhancement, and the enhancement fails. Okay? but it downgrades. Okay, as if the Kron Stones didn't actually apply. Now, chat and I did a lot of investigating today on it. Now, this guy puts in a support ticket, and do you know what Perlibus told him? They said, well, do you have a video of it happening? And he says, sure, I've got a video. And he sent them a video. Okay. Then Perlibus said, okay, we'll refund it to your account and we'll reverse it, blah, blah, blah. Then Perlibus comes out, you know, a day or two later and says, actually, we're not going to give you your stuff back. We're waiting because we're investigating this. Okay. So now he's all upset. So he posts on InVen and says, Perlibus is essentially not giving me my stuff back. This is a bug, blah, blah, blah. There are a lot of people that are on both sides of the fence in this drama, and that some think it's a legitimate bug with Kron Stones and the Sovereign Weapons, or just like in-game and enhancing. And other people think this guy is scamazing or attempting to scam thousands of people. Let me pull this up. Actually, I have it right here. Okay, so this is a video of it happening, right? Let's go to the start of the video. Okay, so this is a video of it happening.
Okay.
I'm actually going to mute Hugh here. I'm going to get rid of this. Okay, so you can see on the right side, he actually... He mouses over, and this is... like, you know what? I'll let it play first. Okay, so he puts the weapon in there, clicks the Kron button. And at first, he realizes it's the wrong weapon. So he takes it out. Puts the other weapon in.
Oh, the Kron button was still selected, but it wasn't actually.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bug. Does it take the Krons?
It did not take the Kron Stones. However, I investigated the shit out of this video. Like, because we all know people try to scamaz people on the internet. Let's run this back one more time. So, number one, when the mouse goes over his weapons on this left side, you can see there's a small blip where his mouse suddenly floats to the bottom of the screen. Okay. Also, notice the fail stack is 376 at current point. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is also not clicked. Okay, this Kron thing is not clicked.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's going to put the weapon in here. He's going to click the Kron button. Then he's going to take the weapon out. 376 is still the fail stack. He takes the weapon out. All of a sudden, there's this blip. Wait, right there. Did you see the mouse go down? All the way down here?
Yeah.
Out of nowhere for a moment. And it's weird because, see, now the fail stack is 366. The Kron button is lit up with nothing in the enhancement window.
Hmm.
Uh-huh.
So it was edited.
Yeah, it's definitely well edited. Okay. And I tested this all day.
Wow.
I tried to get this button lit up with anything. I tried it all day. Okay. We went through full, I mean, Choice tried it too. Choice was like showing things as well. And it does work for accessories. You can get this to light up and everything for accessories, but you can't click the enhance button, right? At no point can you actually click the enhance button with this clicked and have the Kron Stones, at least that I was able to try. And so what this guy is trying to say is that it blipped because, like, he's showing us the edited version and he gave Perlibus the unedited version. But I have a few questions. Number one, why would you edit the video? Like, why wouldn't you just release, like, the normal video? A. B. Why edit it in this way? Why be deliberately deceptive? If there actually is a bug, why would you edit it like this, right? It starts at 366, and then he fails to tap to 376. No. Okay, because he's going to click it right now. No, here's the click. Okay, watch the fail stack. Boom. Now it's 376. Now it's 376. And the weapon is downgraded. Okay. 366, 376. This is before the tap. This is before the tap. Okay. Okay. All right. So, like, I'm just saying, I'm curious what your guys' thoughts are on this. Do you think there actually is a bug in the game? Personally, I think it's kind of 50-50 whether or not there's actually a bug or not. Could this guy be telling the truth? Very unlikely in this particular case. But there could be a bug because, as Hugh Hotbar points out, when he puts this in the enhancement window, you'll notice that the warning, normally there's some yellow text here that says can't downgrade because of cronstones. And there's no yellow text there, which is in fact strange, right? There's that is strange. And it is possible that there's a bug in the game. However, this guy looks like he is scamming a tremendous amount of people. I'm curious what you guys think about it.
I'm just curious if the weapons post level 7 act like accessories. But that we would know about that, right?
Why would acting like accessories be any different? Oh, you mean just
because
it downgrades?
Because they can downgrade even if you're croning it, but you don't delete it, right? But I don't think they work like that, because that would have been a big like news thing. I mean, I feel like everybody would be talking about that. Because like we've already mathed out getting a like 7 and 8. So it feels weird. That is odd. But the weapons are new, so it's like I can't really say. It does look weird that the stuff is like the cron button's still selected, and
it's really weird, isn't it?
Using the crons. I think it looks more like a bug than anything. I think what you think is like the clip it being edited is Hugh watching and reversing to the beginning of the clip again, because it resets the fail stack back to the 10 before it hits, and then he sits and clicks the weapons in the fail stack and he looks at them and he's like, what the, looking at the number again. That's what it looks like, but it looks like it's like a bug, because you would, I mean, the cronstone isn't highlighted, but the button is selected. So what would you have to unselect and then reselect? But I think it's probably just a new weapon with the bug.
Yeah.
Right?
So the question is, so we watched the original like video, that has comments on it that are like, why is there a blip over your weapon? Why does your mouse blip down and stuff? So like they're talking about it in the original clip about how it looks like, why the hell is this lit up? Right. Like this. The shit's just not lining up. I think that there very well could be a bug, but this guy has edited this clip to make it unreadable for us. Okay. I think it's unusable for us. I think that Pearl Abyss's handling of this situation is a complete disaster. Complete disaster.
It's very awkward.
Yeah. Pearl Abyss literally, asked for, instead of just checking the logs, when the guy said there was a bug, I used crons but it didn't work, instead of literally just checking the logs, they asked him for a video. Like every play, and if they hadn't had a video, they'd have just said, sorry, out of luck. You know what I mean?
Can't they like see if someone select, like, I mean, correct. Yeah, I mean, we've seen people accidentally click stuff, but they can see if someone has it selected or not. But with video evidence, it does seem kind of sus that maybe on the game side, it would say that the cronstone's not clicked because they removed and then reset in the gear. So like maybe on the server side, it doesn't, but like in the game itself, it's a visual bug that looks like the cronstone's clicked, but it's not. Because I'm not going to lie, I've definitely been fooled a few times where I'm like thinking I'm clicking something. I didn't click it. And I'm like, oh, frick, I didn't click the cron button. But yeah, it being like weirdly edited kind of makes it sus.
It is giga sus. There's one, this is from the beginning.
I don't know why they wouldn't just investigate it and not say anything though. Like give it back, whatever, fix it because he sent the stuff, but don't like take it back and say, hold on, wait. We let some like low B guy look into this. We're going to let the higher ups look at this. Like why not just like investigate it and then come back after you do the investigation and say, actually we are taking it back because this is all messed up.
Like, there's no excuse for this right here. There's no excuse for this to be lit up like this. You can
click it. Yeah, I think it's a visual bug with the new weapon. That's what it looks like.
You can click it and do this, but like, yeah, right? Like, it's a question is the new weapon bugged at higher fail stacks like this? And you can't get this to light up without anything in the enhancement window. You just can't do it. I've tried with everything in the game. Tried with dandies, black stars, accessories. Like, you can't get this thing. It always goes dim. It's crazy.
Yeah, I wonder if because the new weapons are like in the same subcode of like a new thing that's not like Blackstar or boss weapon or whatever, that like it considered it maybe the same weapon when you removed it and put it back in. So that's where the icon was still like highlighted for some reason. And then there, I mean, I don't know how the coding of the stuff works, but it seems like that's I say like logical thing. It's like, oh, it considered it the same weapon, so the button was still highlighted when you re-entered the gear. And because it's a new thing that I don't know, they forgot to code the visual effect of the cron button unclicking, even though it wasn't clicked, because you could see the cron stones not highlighted even though the button was selected, which means it wasn't using it.
Yeah, well, kinda the awkward. Lesson is not to double check your crons before clicking. Players should not have to like make sure that like the click and unclick
their crons.
It's not
the
on
game.
The player. Yeah, you should be able to trust the game. So like this shakes the player's confidence in the game, but more importantly, it shows that Prolibus once again is not actually looking into its support tickets. Most importantly, with this whole drama, whether you believe it or not, is kind of irrelevant. You look at how support handled this problem. They asked for a video of the situation. The guy provides a video out of thin air, whether he recorded it or not, you know, like whether it's edited or not. He provides a video, then they literally say, okay, yeah, we'll give you your stuff back, and then immediately turn around and go, you know what, we're not going to do that, we're going to investigate first. Well, why wouldn't you just investigate immediately? It shows it shows.
Well, they probably on a glance looked at it and they saw, oh yeah, everything checks out, but then like you said, when you look at it a little, when you really look at it, you're like, but yeah, I don't think they I'm like, I don't know what intern solved that ticket, but they did not look at the log. They're like, oh well, this video looks good, we're good, right guys? Like some min wage intern like just answering random tickets. Everything's checking out. I don't know why they wouldn't just investigate it outside and not say anything. And then once they've come to a, because PA does this weird thing where they do one thing, they make a judgment, then they completely change their mind. It's like, bro, why not just make the judgment like in secret? Go it's investigate insane. It. Once the investigation's done, then come public. Don't like do one thing, then reverse it. Like, this is like the third or fourth time they've done something, then reversed it. And then the community flips out. It's like, what are you thinking?
Right. Yeah. I mean, like I don't understand, like, this cannot be the first time this has happened in the history of the world. This cannot be the first time someone has claimed that the cron button didn't work and that they had it clicked and stuff.
Claimed, just, for sure. Yeah, actually happened?
I correct, don't know. But, like, see, they have to have the logs. You can't tell me they don't have logs for this kind of things. If it happens, happened many
times. New intern
times
on
the
job, the trainer was in the bathroom. They thought they'd solve one ticket real nice and easy, or maybe they had their buddy put their ticket in. Yeah, record it. Send it in real quick. He's in the bathroom. Hurry up.
I think I remember there was another, I don't know if you would call it drama or debacle in the past, where, do you guys remember when Cups first came out? There was this bug.
Yes, there was the bug and exploit,
it was like the upgraded, like the Nightfallen, like base or whatever. It just had like a higher rate rather than, I don't know if that's how it actually went, but there was some sort of weird, if you use the upgraded version when you were like enhancing from like Pride, Duo, or Try, and then someone hit a pen and then they took it back. Do you guys remember that? And they I guess they just, they gave like the fail stats.
I do remember that bug.
I can't remember who it happened to,
because they had cups on their shit, right? Like, that was crazy. So it could be a bug. And I said that when I went over the video, but like,
they've had enhancement
bugs
before.
That guy, bro, you can't submit videos like that, bro. It just makes everybody think that you're lying. He looks like he's scamming, bro. It looks like he's scamming, bro. Like, I can't get that cron button to light up like that. The fail stacks, maybe Hughes rewinding the video, right? But like, unlikely, first of all, given how the video plays out. A, B, again, the cron button's lit up, and it should not be lit up when nothing's in the enhancement window. We can't get that to happen. And before you say Korea can do that, we actually investigated a video where Korea also couldn't get that to happen. So, like,
even with the new weapon?
They didn't test the new weapon. They tested it with accessories. Not put a sovereign weapon in, bro? We want to know.
Yeah, I think the new weapon is... That's the only thing unique specifically about it that kind of ties me over.
You have to replicate it exactly.
Yeah. Right. That's what I said. I was like, so it's really impossible with the information we have to thoroughly say that this is a bug or not without having the logs, right? But this guy, bro, if I'm Prolibus and I don't have the logs, I'm not giving his stuff back. Because that video, if that's the video I see... Because that video is too sussy. That video is giga sussy.
Because you could like just pause the edit.
Yeah.
Take a clip of the cron button and put it there. But the fact that it was de-highlighted after the click and after the thing was out, that's what kind of ties me over to it being a visual in-game bug. Yeah. There's like one missing zero or one somewhere that basically says make sure to uncheck the box as well, because it's not highlighted, the cron's not highlighted, the line of crons isn't highlighted, but the button just has the check mark in it, and that's the problem.
All right, well, we are now out of time. I just want to see your thoughts on that was, because everybody's really split on it, whether
he's
lying or not. You know what I mean? It's kind of like this big thing, and everybody's on the we hate career, or the we hate Perlibus hype train. everybody wants to get on the we hate Perlibus hype train, but I'll be honest with you, their handling of the situation is terrible as usual when it comes to sport tickets like this.
Unfortunately,
and so let's do closing thoughts here. Let's start with Blonde Air.
Closing thoughts. I'd like more group grind spots, more treasure items, please. FOMO can be good and bad. More stuff to do, please. I'm bored.
Yeah,
Twitch.tv/Bombear.
Right on. Chat said the fact that it is no longer yellow after he fails and only after he hovers over the weapon is super sus. Yeah, like there's all kinds of sussy stuff going on in that video. Like I could sit here all day and show you all the different things, but like, yeah, those are just a few of them. Jay, go ahead.
Closing thoughts is I think early access can be a good thing in specific situations, and bad things in other situations. I think FOMO, I like the idea of FOMO as more of like an experience thing rather than like a monetary thing. You can find me over at twitch.tv/JakeandVT, V before the D.
Right on. And before I do my outro, as is tradition, which outfit is the best? Do you guys like the most? Hola.
The bald squadron one.
This guy or the other guy?
Both.
You're an idiot. Oh my God. You're an idiot.
Both.
You're an idiot. Berserker's not right at all. He actually doesn't have a penis. We inspected before. It's not realistic. Whoa. Oh my God, never mind. It's huge. Okay, so Blonde, which one? Oh, there's a blonde, we got you. Jay, which one's your favorite?
So if you turn around, I think there's a guy there's like a warrior in red.
He's kind of he's kind of gaming.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
which one is that? Which outfit is that? Is it the Black Knight outfit?
I don't know. I think so. I think that is the Black Knight outfit. I need Jesus. Okay.
Oh my God. Jesus.
I had a Christian hotline open while I was listening to you guys talk the podcast. It was crazy. My favorite guy is not here anymore. There's a guy dressed in white. He had like white robe. Oh, no, here he is. Right here. This guy. This guy is a unit. I love this guy. The red with the white looks so sick.
Oh.
Big fan.
That's a K-pop star. Damn.
I also love the glasses too. Big fan. Absolutely killed it. Plus, I'll be honest with you. There are a lot of girls here. This is insane. We had a lot of female characters. I had to ask for more male characters to show up because it looked like an OnlyFans convention. Like, it was insane. How many characters we had here. But I am Blue Squadron. There's always something going on my channel. There's always two new YouTube videos every day, so you guys can always check those out. We're going to do the Pass Note Rundown next after the podcast here, so stay tuned for that. We might be trying Final Fantasy soon or something. I don't know. We were discussing it earlier. But yeah, play a lot of BDO, play a lot of other games, do a lot of chatting, just chatting stuff as well. From all of us here at the Old Moon Podcast. Oh, by the way, one more thing. You guys said you like Mysteries of Summer. Are you guys doing any of my riddles?
I don't think I've had the chance to, no.
Oh my God, Blonde just said, who are you? Man, that was rough.
I'll have to take a look. I do love a good puzzle.
That's rough. Well, the Dark Knight statue one will come out. If you don't solve any of the next five, or any of these five, I'm going to release the DK statue riddle. Because Mysteries of Summer, my own version of Mysteries of Summer is going on right now. If you don't know, it's for the Renaissance Fair.
Oh.
The Renaissance Fair has a music festival aspect. It has an art festival aspect, a fashion show aspect, a cosplay aspect, and the Mysteries of Summer. Right. So the Mysteries of Summer, I'm releasing riddles to people. And if you get them right, at least the first five, you got $50 US, and you got early access to the final riddle, which if you solve, you get a Dark Knight statue mailed to your house. And these five, you don't get the $50, but you still get early access to the DK statue. after these five are done, I will release the final riddle in early access to those players that have solved one of the initial riddles. They will have 3 days, 72 hours exactly, to solve it. If they don't solve it, I will release the final riddle to everyone, and everyone has a chance at the DK statue. Early access. Yeah, but it's not pay to win early access. It's like you have to just earn it. Anyway, the riddles are really cool. They force you to go out and engage with the world and like notice things that you've never noticed before and go on little quests and stuff. It's actually pretty cool. I'm having a tremendous amount of fun with it. You guys should try it. I love you guys. I love all of you. From all of us here at the Old Moon Podcast, have a great rest of your week.